Good morning. If you're new, or maybe you weren't able to be here the first Sunday of the new year, we viewed a movie entitled Where the River Divides. And I want to highly recommend that movie to you. I've seen it now probably four times, and each time that I watch it, he touches my heart. On the screen behind me, you'll see the website that you can watch that movie free. And in your bulletin also, on the announcement page, is that same website. I mentioned to you as we prepared to watch that movie, and since we have watched that movie, that there would be several sermons that would springboard from that movie over the weeks to follow. And that has happened over these last three Sundays, and today's sermon will be the fourth Sunday prompted by that movie, and next week's sermon will be prompted by that movie as well. And by that, I simply mean the topics that we're looking at. We are still basing all of these sermons, as you well know, on the Word of God, and that will always be the case here at Reinhardt. Last week, the message was the commitment to follow Jesus, or the decision to accept Jesus as Savior. And just as Dennis, the main character in that movie, believed in Jesus as the Son of God, and he repented of his sins, and he gave his life to Jesus in Christian baptism, so too, that is the decision that God calls every one of us to make. And if you have not made that decision yet in your life, I want to encourage you to do that and to have a sense of urgency about that decision. Austin King and I were talking this last week, and he was referencing the sermon from last Sunday. And in our conversation, he said, you can't read through the book of Acts and not notice the sense of urgency that every person had in making that decision for Jesus. And that is so true. There's only one who doesn't want you to have that sense of urgency in making that decision for Jesus. And we all know who that is. That's the devil. He wants to do his best to distract you, to derail you from that decision, simply because he wants to destroy you. And so please recognize his tactic. Recognize, if you haven't made that decision, recognize your need and act upon that need with a sense of urgency. Satan doesn't want you to have a relationship with the only one who can save you, and that is Jesus. Today's message simply builds on that. It's not just about a decision to accept Jesus as Savior, but it is a decision to live for Jesus for the rest of your life. It's a decision to be His disciple. From that moment on, to give your life to Him and then to be faithful in following Him until the moment that you take your last breath. Can we earn our salvation? Can we be good enough to attain our salvation on our own? Absolutely not. We are saved by His grace through faith. And you'll see that scripture on the screen behind me that verifies that. His work on the cross is all that we need for our salvation. But as we realize what He did for us, then His grace prompts us to be His disciple. And so let me encourage you and challenge you in what that kind of life of following Jesus looks like. And I will be referencing Dennis, who was in that movie, throughout this sermon. First of all, we see that Dennis decided to die to himself. He decided to give up his old way of living. If you saw the movie, you recall that his father had a plan for him. His father was the chief of the village there in Africa. And his plan was that he would pass the baton of authority onto his son, Dennis. One day, his son would be the next chief. He would walk in his father's footsteps. But Dennis went away to the big city. And while he was there, somebody shared with him the good news of Jesus, and Dennis had a decision to make. And maybe you recall from the movie, as he stood in that river, he was contemplative of what his father might think about him. He didn't want to hurt his father. The preacher, if you recall, was reminding him that he needed to die to himself. In fact, the preacher quoted to him, John chapter 12, verse 24, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground or into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Dennis had to die to himself. And that's true for each and every one of us. We need to die to self too. The old person, the old man, the old woman needs to die. Maybe you remember what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. He said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The denying of oneself is not an easy thing to do. And we certainly don't learn that from the world, do we? The world says, promote yourself, endorse yourself, push yourself, sell yourself. Many of you will remember this picture that you'll see on the screen behind me. This was from last year, the moment that LeBron James became the NBA's all-time leading scorer. Now, it's hard to see here without zooming in, but what's interesting to me is all of these people, it was a packed arena to see this moment in NBA history, and no telling how much money they spent for their tickets. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands of dollars to see this. And yet most of them are not seeing it with their own eyes. What are they doing? They got their phone out so that they can get a picture of it. They're not looking at LeBron themselves. They're looking at their phone and they're trying to get the picture or the video of the moment when he breaks that record. What's more important to them than seeing it was to get a picture or a video of it so that they could post it on Facebook so that everybody in the world would know that they were there. You see, the world tells us to be seen, to get noticed, to build a platform, to lift yourself up. But Jesus came along and he said, no, it's not about you. In fact, you need to die to yourself. And so I wonder who we're going to listen to. I would hope that we would listen to him. It sure makes a difference in our marriage when both partners are seeking to be dead to self rather than promoting self. Try that in your friendships too, and right here in the church family. When each of us are promoting ourselves, there's going to be friction. There's going to be a clashing that happens. But if we are each one seeking to die to ourselves, then that is a good pathway towards peace and blessing. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." And do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And Paul says at this point, oh, by the way, let's look at Jesus. Let's see what kind of life Jesus lived, and the fact that this was all true in his life. He says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Indeed, Jesus is the perfect example for us in what it means to die to oneself. And he's called each and every one of us to follow in his footsteps. We too are to die to our old self, to die to this nature that the world has molded us into. And it's an everyday choice that we have to make, to die to ourself. It's not a one and done situation where we choose that at our conversion point, we choose to die to oneself there, and then for the rest of our life, we're dead to self. No, every day that we wake up, we have to make a choice to die to oneself. And we can't do that without the Holy Spirit empowering us, without the Holy Spirit living in us and helping us make that choice. This is a part of the sanctification process, and it's over a lifetime that we learn to die to oneself. It's a battle, but God wants to help us win the battle. So the question is, what does this life of Jesus look like? What does this life of following him and being his disciple really look like? Well, first of all, it means to die to oneself. Let me give to you a second point. And again, using Dennis as an example, Dennis decided the message of Jesus could not, should not be kept quiet. If you recall from the movie, as Dennis gave his life to Jesus, he came back to his village and he felt compelled to tell the message of Jesus to his family and his friends, even when there was pushback, even when there was people standing up against him. He could not keep the message to himself. Some sneered at him. His father threatened him. But still, the message of Jesus, this good news about Jesus, could not and should not be contained. I've mentioned to you each month, as we are under this umbrella theme, Mission Possible, that's our theme for the whole year of 2024. Each month there will be a Bible study sheet for you to pick up, or you can sign up and it will be sent to you online. And if you did January's Bible study sheet, you may recall the scripture from Jeremiah 20, verse 9, from the New International Version. It's one of the most powerful verses concerning witnessing in the whole Bible. From the New International, it says, "But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. "But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it." Wow. That is a different mindset of what so many Christians have today I just want to keep this to myself. I don't want to come across as a fanatic to anybody. I don't want to step on into somebody else's business. I mean, this is a private thing. That's not an attitude or a mindset that you find in Scripture anywhere. I'm glad my family didn't consider it a private thing and keep from telling me the good news about Jesus. I'm glad my sister wasn't worrying about being a fanatic for Jesus or what I might think of her, as I remember her sitting down with me one night after my parents had already gone to bed. She sat down with me and she talked to me about Jesus. She was concerned about my soul. In fact, you know what she said? I remember it word for word to this day, because tears were running down her face, and she said this: "I don't want you to go to hell." You know what? That was like a sword. I was 9 years old at that time. And my sister was concerned for my soul, and she told me straight up she didn't want me to go to hell, and her words were like a sword that went to the very depth of my heart. For the first time, the gospel message had penetrated. And then I had a decision to make. What was I going to do with Jesus? Jeremiah said, "I can't keep this message of truth to myself. It's like a fire burning within me, and if I try to contain it, I just can't do it." Let me ask you, what kind of a friend would I be to you if I withheld from you the most important message ever? The most important news ever. How much would I really love you if this building was on fire and you're out there in the gym in an upstairs room, the door's closed, you don't know that the building's on fire? I know that the building is on fire. And what kind of a friend would I be to you if I just ran past your room? I got to get out of this building. And I didn't take the time to stop and open the door and say, "Hey, come on, let's get out of here. The building's on fire." I mean, most of us in that situation, we would stop and we would make sure that person knew that the building was on fire. And if they were struggling to get out of the building, we'd pick them up and we'd somehow get them out of the building. Brothers and sisters, we are talking a life or death matter for all eternity, and hell is real. And a lot of us have friends and family that are headed to that dreadful place. We must forewarn them. We must tell them the good news of Jesus, lest they be lost forever. A few weeks ago, Cindy and I were trying to find the home of Adam and Mackenzie Bridgewater. I haven't spotted them here this morning. They may be here and I haven't seen them, but they live out in the middle of nowhere. Northwest of Rich Hill. And they had invited us for supper that evening, Cindy and I. And I hadn't got directions from them. I was trusting my GPS. I had their address, and I typed it into my GPS, and I was trusting that. And I knew I was in trouble when it had taken me to this open field, and there wasn't a house anywhere. I see them back there now. I'm in an open field, and it says you have arrived. Oh no, I don't think so. I think the GPS has led me astray. And thankfully, I was able to get service. I was able to get Adam on the phone, and I said, "Hey, I think I'm in the wrong spot. I've trusted the GPS, and it's led me to this open field." And I told him where we were at, and he said, "Oh no." He said, "I think you're about 8 miles from us." And he told me how to get to his place, and we finally made it. I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the world who need just a little bit of guidance in reference to eternity. And they're doing the best they can. They're listening to the instruction that is given to them by the world. And they're just following along. They're just going right in that direction and thinking that everything is okay, not realizing they're lost. And they're going to end up in a dreadful place. They need somebody to give them just a little bit of direction, to show them just a little bit of love. And when I say give them a little bit of direction, that may scare some of you to death. I'm not necessarily talking about you being able to sit down with the scripture and one-on-one and answer every question that they might have, although I think that is really important, and I would challenge each and every one of you to be growing in that direction, to become a better student of God's Word, that you can sit down with someone and share with them the good news of Jesus and how to be saved. But every single one of us here have a story. Every one of us here have a testimony that we could share with that person how Jesus saved you and what he means to you and how he brought you out of the darkness into the light. You have a story that you can share. I want to encourage you to share it. Be ready to share it. In fact, over these days ahead, these Sundays to come, I'm going to be asking some of you, and I would welcome some of you to come to me and say, "I have a testimony. I want to share my story of how Jesus has changed my life and what he means to me." And if you don't come to me, I might be coming to you and asking you to share your testimony. Because evangelism, someone has said, is basically one poor beggar telling another poor beggar where to find bread. That's what evangelism is. Dear God, may the good news be like a fire burning in our bones that we cannot hold it in. We just have to share it with somebody. Let me give to you a third point. And again, referencing Dennis. Dennis decided the life of Jesus was worth imitating. He made sure that his life in Jesus was complementing what he was saying about Jesus. The fact that he was willing to forgive his father for what he had done to him was huge, wasn't it? And I don't want to say too much about that because that's my sermon topic for next week, the importance of offering forgiveness to those who have offended us. We desperately need to hear that message because that's where we live. That's the road that we're traveling. So many of us, we've had people who have offended us, and we need to offer forgiveness to them. And in doing so, not only are we touching those people's lives, but we're gonna touch the whole world, because the world is watching us to see how we respond towards our offender. And so Dennis's life was imitating Jesus as he offered forgiveness to his father. And maybe you noticed the little blurb in the movie. The directors didn't give a lot of attention to this, but certainly it was noticeable to me as Dennis's father knocked on that door. And first Dennis's wife answered the door, then Dennis came to the door. They were shocked to see him. "What do you want, Dad? What are you doing here?" "I want to talk to you about something." So they invited him in, they sat down, and the first thing Dennis said, do you remember what he said? Father, did you not receive the money that I sent you last month? Is that why you're here?" In spite of what Dennis's father had done to him, Dennis was sending him spending money every month to live on. He was doing the Jesus thing. He was loving the unlovable. He was blessing the one who had cursed him. He was showing grace to the one who had shown no grace to him. Don't you know every month that Dennis's dad, as he received that envelope of money inside of it, as he opened it from his son, whom he had tried to kill, it pricked his heart just a little bit more every month. Dennis was definitely going against the flesh, wasn't he? The flesh would say, "You treat me like that? I'm done with you forever. You treat me like that? You can just go to hell, as far as I'm concerned." I mean, that's how most people would respond. But that isn't how Dennis responded. And that isn't how Jesus would have responded. And Dennis was doing the Jesus thing. He was giving in to the Spirit. And he loved his dad in spite of what his dad had done to him. And that love is what eventually drew him, his dad, to the Savior. God needs us, and the world needs us to do more than just talk the talk. We need to walk the walk. We need to imitate Jesus' life. Listen to these two verses. 1 John 2:6. "The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." And Ephesians 4:15, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." That's his calling to us, is to be like Jesus. Would you watch this little video clip of these kids singing? If we could get that into our hearts. I think God would be thrilled. He would be thrilled that we would know that we are to grow. It's not just about a first-time decision to accept Jesus, but it is a lifetime walk of growing and planting our roots deep and then sharing the good news with others, because we can't hold it in. Let's pray together.